name. Cheers, Nick. I enjoyed that. Lord, we pray he has an amazing word on his heart. Don't we all pray that? I've been praying that all week, Nick, actually. Yeah. Woo! Hey, lovely to be here. Thanks for being here. It's a real privilege always to share, and I'm really looking forward to it. But before we do, I'm going to get Jane to come and do our reading. I've got it here for you. Don't worry. So it's ready. Do you want to come and read to us? And then I'll go from there. We're in Luke 17, so open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Second? Sorry, that's your line. Here's Jane.
Thank you, Andrew. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. Sorry for stealing that bit. Let's pray for the scripture and for the scripture to land into our hearts. So, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to bring this scripture, to bring it alive, to root it into our hearts. Would we be open? Would we not be closed? Father, help us to be soft, not hard. Amen. Brilliant. Keep that scripture open because that's where we'll be. We're in the middle of a series all about, as Rebecca said, love, agape. And the overarching theme of it is wholeness, really. And that's one of our three core values that we're driving for at the moment in this church, which is leadership development, small communities, and wholeness. And on Sundays, we are going after wholeness. And we think and we feel for this gathering at the five that wholeness in this chapter is about being more fully loved and loving more fully. Being more fully loved and loving more fully. And we've been looking a lot from a passage in 1 John 4. And Neil last week began to move us out of that to other passages. He was looking at John 15, what it means to have a rhythm of abiding and living from rest, living, working, and that rhythm of going between the two. And today I want to set us up for the next chapter of this series as we head into Easter. Because we want to move into focusing on God's love for us. How do we grow in our knowledge, our awareness of God's love for us? Good night, Raph. I don't know why she had the car keys, but that's between you and your wife, Chris. So that's fine. I wouldn't let my toddler drive. So, but I'm not a parent yet. So, you know, what do I know? And I chose this passage, which maybe is slightly odd, but we'll get into why. And the title of this talk, Emma, if you could jump onto my slides, is called "The Unfamiliarity of God." The Unfamiliarity of God. And this passage starts with the disciples saying to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith. We're hungry for more. We want to believe more. We want the more." Interestingly, this comes just after Jesus teaches them about forgiveness. And it's such revolutionary teaching that they say, Lord, we need more faith to be able to live into this. It's too far beyond us. But their cry is, "Lord, we want more." And his response is fascinating. Hang on. Sorry, jumped ahead there. Let's jump on to the next one. Love in a circle. I'll explain that in a minute. His response is fascinating because what he says is something that they would have no experience of ever seeing. If you have faith to say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you say to this mulberry tree, I don't know if that is a mulberry tree, but it's a tree. If you say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and go into the sea," you can literally, by faith, throw it. Move it, just by faith, without touching it, by faith, moving it. The disciples have never seen that. They've never seen a mulberry tree moved. "Lord, we want more faith." Well, if you had faith, you'd be able to move trees. What? How's that relevant? Well, it's deliberate. Obviously, it's deliberate. It's Jesus. And he does it because I think he wants them to understand that as we grow in faith, we encounter the unimaginable, the unseen, the unfamiliar. That when we say to God, Lord, we want more, it doesn't just mean more of the same. It means things you've never seen before. It means things you couldn't predict. It means getting answers to questions that you didn't know you were asking. I think we can make God too familiar, too predictable, too samey. That our rhythms of connection, our life, our journey with Jesus, when we say, Lord, we want more, we just expect more of the same. Now, at the heart of every single time God responds, in fact, every time God acts, speaks, thinks, does anything in Scripture and in our lives, right in the middle of it is always love. Why? Because God is love. So that means every time that he encourages, it comes from love. Every time he challenges, it comes from love. Every time there's judgment, it comes from love. Any time there's wrath, it comes from love. Because God is love. God is not wrath. God is not mercy. God is not encouragement. God is merciful. God is encouraging. God can sometimes be judgmental, not in the bad sense, but in the divine sense. But he is love. In the middle of every single expression of God being God is love, which means that is the driver behind everything he does. And we have to wrestle with Scripture, with our experiences in life, to understand how what he is doing is coming from love, because sometimes it doesn't feel like it is. Sometimes when we read Scriptures, it is incredibly hard to see that love is right at the heart of it. Sometimes when we look at the experiences of our lives, what we are going through, what's happening to us, we say, God, how could this possibly be coming from love? Now, of course, sometimes it's because God isn't even causing it. Sometimes the enemy is trying to pull you down. In fact, probably more often than we realize. But in times where God is disciplining us, when he's refining us, as Neil was saying last week, when he's pruning us, it can be hard to see that God's love is driving right at the heart of things. But we have to contend to see that as truth. Because if we lose sight of the fact that God is love, then we lose sight of God. We begin making him into an image of something that he isn't. If we cannot define him by love, we are not seeing God. Because God is love. Again, I'll point you back to the teaching that we've had. When we say God is love, it is not an earthly opinion of love. It is the divine definition of love. It's not necessarily just this easy come, easy go, whatever suits you, whatever fits you. No, it's God's love. God's love that is definitive, that draws dividing lines, that says this is healthy and that is not healthy. That acts and moves and works. It's God's love, not our opinion of what love is like. It's his view. So let's not just think that we interpret, you know, faith through the lens of what we as people think is loving. No, we have to go and say, God, what does love look like? Because he created it. But that's sort of an aside. And the reason that I'm pulling these threads together is because I think when we begin to say, God, we want more, we need to understand that what we will experience is an expression of love. But it might be an expression of love that you've never seen. It might be an expression of love in your life that you have no grid for whatsoever. You might say, Lord, I want more. And he'll say to you, if you have faith, you'll be able to move a tree. And you think, I don't know what you're on about. And it's actually quite an okay answer sometimes to say to God, I really don't know what you're doing. I do not understand why you're talking to me about this. I do not understand why you're bringing this up. I don't understand why you let me hear. I think I don't understand God is probably one of the most common things that a healthy disciple might feel, because he's always surprising us. Because more is not more of the same. So every response to our cry for more will have at the core of God's response, sorry, misspelling there, love, because God is love. So we need to learn to explore the mystery, explore the unknown, explore the things we've never seen before. And this is why I want to sort of just gently challenge us with the second half of this scripture. I've titled it, Make Me Dinner, because that's sort of what it says. Let me read it to us again, verses 7 to 10 from Luke 17. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Let's just set the record straight. Whenever you get a passage of scripture like this, we always interpret it and understand it through the lens of the narrative of the whole story. Okay? What we do with this one is we go, okay, so God doesn't actually want to interact with us as master to servant. Because the narrative of scripture, John 15 again is a wonderful example of this, or Luke 15, the parable of the lost son. God wants to interact familiarly with us as family, father to son. And when it says son, it doesn't mean male, it means with the full inheritance of. It's not a gender thing, it's about an inheritance thing. He wants to interact with us as like the firstborn. Full rights, full access, everything. So when we read a scripture like this, it isn't contradicting that God wants to interact with us as friends, John 15, 15, or like family, Luke 15. So what is he saying? It's fascinating that it's still a response to, Lord, we want more faith. It's such a weird response. If you had a servant, which hopefully none of us do, and they came in and they said, I've done my jobs, make me dinner. We'd be like, what? If I said that to my boss, I said, I've done this job you asked me to do, now can you do this job for me? He'll be like, well, he'd probably be, yeah, sure, because he's a nice guy, but you're sort of getting the pecking order wrong. You sort of got the wrong view. Again, so we have to remember that God's heart is, he is only saying this because at the core of him is love. So he's saying this because if we operate with this mindset, one of rights, where we're in charge, where we call the shots, where things go as we want them to, when we're tired, we say we're tired and that's enough, thank you very much. If we operate with that mindset, we will not access the fullness of life and we will not encounter the fullness of God's love. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. Let me explain that again. It doesn't look like that one really, you know, so we'll try again. If it works, just someone fall off their chair or something. Just give me just a small sign like that. Would be good. He would have only said this to his disciples if having a mindset like the servant in this story, where a servant says, comes in and says, hey, I'm done, you need to do something for me now. Jesus had only said this to them if that mindset would have barred them, prevented them, stopped them from accessing the fullness of love, that life, and encountering God's love. He doesn't want us to think we're servants, but he wants us to remember that we gave our lives. That we gave our lives by choice. As we're looking to develop and journey into encountering love, encountering God, we need to be able to see really clearly our own approach to faith, our own approach to God. We need to see really clearly whether we're actually after them all. Whether we actually want to see more of God. Whether we actually want our faith to grow. Whether we actually want him to throw us into, at times, the unfamiliar. Or whether, as so often happens, God is the master of the household that we visit, but he's not the father of the household that we live in. He's the master we come and report to. He's not the guide who shows the way. And too many times, in my experience of me and God, in my journey, my relationship with him, and then too many times in what I hear from others, is I will see or I will feel in my life God putting his finger on something in my character that he wants to address, an area where he wants to pour the more out onto me. And I'll say no. And I'll harden up. There'll be that issue that he comes knocking again and again and again, and every time it's just too disappointing to go there, so I just say no. That people challenge me on a certain area of my character or a certain area of the way I interact with others, and I just, I'm not touching that. An area of my life where God is just constantly just putting his finger, even as I say it now, you know exactly what it is. He's just putting his finger and we just say it no. And over time, we lose the ability to be soft. Our faith stagnates. Now, let me be clear. God is not angry with you. God is not annoyed with you. And forgive me if you pick that up in my tone, because that could not be further from what I'm trying to articulate. God's desire is to grow you, to develop you, to keep you soft, because it is in having a soft heart with God that we experience life as we were meant to experience it. Unbroken communion, fellowship with God himself. Everything is about unbroken fellowship and communion, oneness with God himself. That ultimately is what was won on the cross for humanity, was the possibility of oneness. But if we are not hungry for the more, what are we hungry for? If we don't want to see more of God, what do we want to see? Are we just tepid? Scared of the unknown, putting the brakes on, refusing to open the door that God's knocking at. That was a good one. Someone dropped a cup. That was fantastic. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I wasn't quite falling off a chair, but at least it was something. And I put this, I got this picture because I just think it's like, it's just you, isn't it? It's just one person in the middle of nowhere. And that's the reality of our journeys with God, is that as much as we surround ourselves with others, with things, with people, with busyness, at the end of the day, it's just you in the middle of him. And what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? It's just you. That actually there's nothing to hide behind. What are you going to do? Will you say yes to the more? Will you communicate the disappointment? Will you actually communicate what you feel to God? Or are you done? Have you stopped? Are you hard? Are you growing? Are you learning? I know that in the weeks to follow, there's going to be some brilliant teaching, because I know the other people who teach here are brilliant teachers. I know that God wants to say some amazing things to our community, to this family, about his love. I know that he wants to move by his spirit in amazing ways. But we will never grab it unless we're hungry for the more. It'll pass you right by. Let's stand and we'll pray. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are only unworthy servants. We have done our duty. I didn't mean to imply that I was making a joke about slavery, so I'm really sorry about it. I really didn't mean to do that. It's actually a very live thing and a big issue, so I apologize for saying that. I also wanted to say we are all completely unique individuals, and nobody can tell you what it looks like for you to go after the more. Nobody can tell you. No one can paint you a picture. It's right hidden in your heart. And I know that when we think about the more, there can be a tendency to think of people going a bit OTT, in our opinion. Not judgment on them. I'm probably one of those people. But I want you to know that as we pursue the more, as you pursue the more, I don't know what it looks like for you. Only you know. Only you know what an authentic reaction is, response to the invitation. Okay? So let's pray and let's see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Father, we love your ministry. We love it that you have spoken through Scripture, that you continue to breathe through it, to interpret it and plant it right in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that your voice is still fresh, that you're still speaking new realities over us. Thank you, God, that you are so committed to us that you will not leave us where we are, because you're so committed to our oneness with you, us fulfilling our destiny, our design, through being fully connected with you. And so, Lord, there are all these different places in our hearts, possibly, where we've become a little bit hard, where we've begun to shut down, where we begin to just say no to the more of God, to where God is putting his finger on our character, on our habits, on our tendencies, where he's saying, I want it to work on this with you. And Father, we want to say to you, we don't want to shut you down. Lord, we want to say that we are hungry, that we want the more. We want to get to know a little bit more of the unfamiliar God. Unfamiliar not because he's distant, but unfamiliar because he's vast. We don't want to settle, God. We don't want to settle into normal. Would our normal be growth? Would our normal be exceptional surprises from heaven? So, Holy Spirit, would you come and move, please? Would you come and speak, please? Thank you that you're such a gifted communicator, God, that you know how to interact with us. And if we carry disappointment because we don't feel like God's ministered to us in the past, tell him. Tell him right now. Express your disappointment. Tell him. Engage. Engage. If you can't engage because you feel like it's not going to happen for you, engage by telling him that you don't think it's going to happen to you. Disengagement does not need to be an option. Does not need to be an option. Engagement is honesty. It's about communication. It's about dialogue. So, Lord, we engage. No matter what our history is with you, whether it's brand new or as old as anything, we engage. Thank you, God, that whilst you might be really unfamiliar to us because of your vastness, because of your divineness, thank you that we are very familiar to you, that you understand us, that you know how we work. Thank you, God, that you keep knocking because you love. You keep stirring because you love. You convict because you love. And I'd like you to start saying in your minds and your hearts, I want you to start saying, Lord, I want more. I'm after the more. Lord, I'm after the more. I won't be held back by the unknown of it. Lord, I want the more. I gave you my life, God. I think for some people, you might come to realize that actually you don't know if you've ever given him your life. What I mean by that, I don't mean you haven't put your faith in Jesus. I mean that you haven't actually given him the direction, the steps of your life. That you haven't given him the right to lead. And so I invite you to do that now, that you say, God, I want to give you the leadership of my life. Keep saying, Lord, I want the more. I want the more. I want the more. Amen.